Well, good morning. I don't know why I'm tearing up. Ken has been trying to get me to speak to you about my testimony, whatever that is, for 3 or 4 years. And he called me this week, and I don't know why I said yes. Let me try to gather myself, and I have notes just to make sure that I don't completely bore you and take too long. This is the first time that I've ever spoken publicly about faith. And I've been fighting Kent and fighting him and telling him, no, nobody wants to hear this. And maybe when I'm done, you don't want to hear this. I don't know. I hope that if I can say one thing to touch somebody, then that's God's plan to move through me. Because I promise you, this is not my plan to be here today speaking with you. I've known Kent for a long time, and when he called me and asked me to do this, I said, okay. I've said no. For some reason, something moved in me, and I said, okay. So I've spent a few days talking about it, and I speak publicly for a living all the time, and never have I teared up in my 26 years of speaking publicly in business, or the 8 years when I was a high school teacher and coach. I guess something bigger moving in me, and maybe Kent and Bonnie and the Lord has a bigger plan for us today. So I have lived a blessed life. I promise you that. When I was thinking about this, I'm blessed to be married to Jenny, and those of you that know her know how true that is. My buddies all the time tell me that I way overachieved, and that's, I'm sure, correct. As I look around here, a lot of us fit in that category, by the way. I don't think I'm the only one. But I'm blessed with great kids. And when I get done, you're going to understand why I think the biggest blessing that I've had in my life was when I came down with colon cancer. Kind of strange. But the more I think about it, the more that I believe that. So to try to frame this for you, I'm going to tell you that my life has many chapters, but for today's few minutes, it has two chapters. I grew up in southern Illinois, and those of you that know anything about the Illinois, about 2.5 hours south of here, there's a little town called Tams, Illinois. And Tams, Illinois used to be a big place. Today it has 550 people, but when I was there it had 850. So we were a booming place. And looking back now, we grew up very poor financially. I'm one of a family of six. My dad was a teacher. We didn't have a lot of money, but we didn't know that we were poor because we were so rich in many other ways. Grew up a Christian. I went to church every week, but I think like a lot of us, and Kent talks about this all the time, we're all broken. I'll be broken when I sit down after talking with you today, and I'm broken when I stand here and talk to you now. But I taught and coached at Triad for 8 years, and something in 1989 caused me, I was bored, a little bit burnt out with education, coaching three sports, taking kids to Europe in the summer, supervising economically disadvantaged kids in the summer, working with janitors, and I literally got burnt out and decided that I was going to try something different. There was something out there for me, so I went into business, and that's when I met Kent in 1989, and Kent told me on Tuesday, or whenever we met, he said that, and some of the songs today about believing, I do have a positive attitude, and strangely how that has come about, I don't know, but I do believe that with God's will that you can do anything that you want, and I mean that without boundaries. I believe that we can accomplish anything that we want, and I try to live that every day. But from 1989 till December of 2015, I grew an employee benefits company from scratch and to 100 employer groups. The city of Edwardsville, I don't talk about private customers, but public entities and employees at Bethalto School and, you know, groups of people. That's what I wanted to do, and I was very lucky, and I was working 60, 70 hours a week. I mean, I would work every day, get up early in the morning. Sometimes I'd go home and have dinner and go back to work, and then out of the blue came a message to me. I, at that point, was taking the credit for everything. I surrounded myself with people, but I had my hands in everything. There wasn't anything that went on in my office that I didn't know about. And I was involved. And all of a sudden, in December 2014, out of the blue, never had a cigarette touch my lips, not a big drinker. I have a terrible diet, by the way, though I do want to know. I want you to know. I don't know if any of you ever go through 2004. Okay, I'm sorry. See how wonderful she is? Those of you that have come to church a lot have seen Bonnie do that to Kent many times. And that's what reminds me of right now. And believe me, that's not the only time that happens in my life, too. But it is correct. December of 2000, actually in 5, is when I was diagnosed with cancer. Completely out of the blue. I'll never forget Blair's 6th birthday party. The night before surgery in my hospital room, we celebrated Blair's 6th birthday party. And I was scared. I have 2 other sons. They were age 16 and 13, and I thought I was going to die. I felt like I was in control. I was responsible for everything that good was happening, and anything bad was happening wasn't my fault. A grapefruit-sized tumor. And after 6 hours of surgery, they removed 2/3 of my small intestine and 2/3 of my large intestine. I recovered, and a couple days after surgery, a friend of mine came and visited me and brought me a CD. I'm sorry. But those of you that follow and know anything about music, Carrie Underwood had a song that was a hit, and it was Jesus Take the Wheel. And my friend brought this to me, and he basically, at that point, a couple days after surgery, a light went off. And it was the acknowledgement that while I felt like I was driving the bus and in control, if you listen to that song and you reflect on it enough, you come to the realization. And it took me 46 years, because I'm a pretty slow learner, obviously, to figure out that we're really not in control. I'm going to fast forward and tell you that after 6 months of chemo and being diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer, In July of 2006, I finished chemo. Had lost. Today, I know you all think I'm really thin, right? You know? Don't look too close, because you're going to find out that I'm not. But I lost 60 pounds, and I weighed 145 pounds. But I was healed in so many ways. Kent talks about how successful our company was, and I was blessed. I surrounded myself with people, and as I told you, I took all the credit. During the months of chemo, I couldn't do hardly anything. I tried to go to the office, but I couldn't do anything. I'd have to go home and sleep, and after a couple treatments. And the people that I'd surrounded myself that had done a good job basically had to take over. And when I talk about blessings, we were a large employer benefits company, and as a result of, I believe, this illness and figuring out that I wasn't in control, and today I sit here and I promise you that I'm not in control, and words that are coming out of my mouth, it's not even close to what I have up here, by the way. My notes, I could have just saved some time. But Kent told me to do just what I'm doing. And I will tell you that I stand here today, again, first time I've ever done this. I'm humbled. I've been humbled. It's 10-year anniversary of my chemo ending. So, and I have a positive attitude, and I'm positive that God is in control, and I'm positive that the biggest blessing that has ever happened in my life was colon cancer 10 years ago. So because of that, I basically have let go as much as I can. I try, and I'm conscious of it, and I hope that you understand. I still stand before you broken, but I'm trying, and I hope that a few minutes with you here didn't bore you, and hopefully will be something to help your life. So thanks for humoring me. Thanks.
Have a special song for Kerry after his testimony. And if I'd known there was going to be a Kerry Underwood song, we would be doing that. But see, this is unrehearsed, obviously. We do this stuff unrehearsed.
Thank you.
Do you dare to believe what the Bible says? Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. There's another gospel, that says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, if you say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, it will be cast into the sea. When I read that, besides thinking of Kerry and some of the mountains that he's overcome, I used to get stuck on that verse. Because I'd never seen anyone, including Jesus, say to a mountain, mountain, you go and you jump into the sea. But the thing you have to realize is Jesus taught in metaphors, in parables. All of us are facing mountains in our life. And what we're going to study from now until Christmas, there's enough in here for me to give you, is basically, let me give you a summary of what's going to come up. The words in this book are powerful spiritual words that can change circumstances. It can remove mountains in your life. Basically, what this says and what Kerry said, having a positive mental attitude, having positive words put in your life, we move towards what we think and say. If you're thinking and saying, if you're down and out and the mountain, I'll never be able to get around that mountain, I won't be able to go through that mountain, I can't go around the mountain or over the mountain, then you will probably be stuck on the wrong side of the mountain. I'm going to leave you with this because Kerry's testimony is all we need to hear today. But in that similar note, in the Bible, in the New Testament, there's this wonderful story of a woman who they said had an issue of blood. For 12 years, she had this issue of blood. It was a hemorrhage. She couldn't get rid of it. It says that she went to many doctors, spent all of her money, and yet she was still ill and sick. And you have to remember that back in those days, a blood or a wound that was bleeding, you were considered unclean. So she was a castaway from society. She had to hide herself. She would not be invited anywhere. And she heard that Jesus was coming to town. Her mountain was this health issue. And what did she do? Is she said in her mind, and with her words, if I can only touch the hem of his cloak, I will be healed. She had positive faith words. She said, I will be healed if I get close enough to Jesus Christ. I've heard about him. I've heard some of the rumors that he's going around and he's healing people. And she fought her way through a crowd. And she finally got close enough to touch the hem of his cloak. And what did Jesus do? He stopped amongst all the multitudes around him and he said to his disciples, who was it that touched me? And the disciples almost started laughing and said, who was it that touched you? Teacher, there's thousands of people reaching at you and touching you. He says, but I felt virtue go out of my body. In other words, what happened was her words of faith and her connection to Jesus created the miracle. And Jesus felt that. And he turned to her and he said, daughter, which is a very endearing term. Your faith has healed you and made you well. And instantly she was healed. And for the next teaching, now until Christmas, we're going to be looking at Bible verses and how we need to change our language, to change our thoughts. And I don't care what mountain it is you're facing. Like Kerry said, sometimes we just need a slap to say Jesus is real. He can come into your life. I'm going to tell you a little story about Kerry that he didn't add. But so I told him years ago when I very first met him, I was working Prudential and he came into Prudential. I didn't know him from Adam. And he came in the office and he started declaring things with his words. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. Now, some of the people in the office thought he was real cocky. But I'm going to tell you something. He did everything he said. He's a very positive person. I'm married to a very positive person 99.5% of the time. She does what she says. It's a lesson. Kerry will tell you, look, I'm not special in any way, except I will tell you how he is special. He's an extremely positive person. Extremely positive. And he always is talking, I can do that, I will do that, I'll help that, I can do that. And his life is the fruit of his life. It shows. And the problem with all of us is we get stuck on the mountain. And we start out, give me these words. I'll pray these words. I can overcome everything and anything with the love of Jesus Christ. I've been confessing that for 6 weeks now, and nothing's happened. I give up. To me, that's like going to the gym and saying you want to get in shape. You want to lose weight. You want to feel better. So you start going to the gym, and you go to the gym 6 times, and the only thing that happens is you get sore. And you say, the heck with it, it doesn't work. That's what happens to us when we're trying to confess words that Jesus wants us to speak into this world. And right now, we need all the positive words and thoughts and faith that we can have in this country. And I don't care what your political affiliation is or what you think about this or that and the other thing. The bottom line is this. If we can grasp the reality of Jesus' teaching and fill our hearts with enough positive words and positive faith, we can go out and the people we meet, we can become the love and the light that Jesus wants us to be. Amen? That's what Christianity is. Let's have the gang up. Let's end with some very upbeat, wonderful, positive music. We want you all to sing along. And we're going to have a special song coming up.